Great, so I'm Sally, if you don't know me. I have the occasional privilege of speaking to you. Today we're carrying on in our series of No Longer, and we've got one more session next week. I think this is the penultimate one this week. And we're looking through the book of Galatians. And this passage that we're going to read now doesn't actually have the words no longer, but I've worked them in, so we'll get to that in a minute. Let's have a read of the passage. So it's Galatians 5, verses 22 to 26. I'll just read it. This is the New Living Translation. This is the translation I prefer at the moment. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. So we've had a bit of a fruitful conversation this morning already. And we're going to be looking at a lot more fruit in this passage. It's a bit obvious, but I thought it was quite ironic, coincidental to talk about fruit because I'm a farmer's daughter. My dad was a fruit farmer in South Africa, so I've been thinking a lot about him lately. Today's Father's Day, so he's particularly on my mind today. But the Bible has several more verses that talk about fruit and plants and things. So here are a few. In Psalm 1, we're said that the blessed person is like a tree planted by streams of water that yield fruit in its season. And then Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 15, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. And then a few verses later, he adds that he adds that when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples, and this brings great glory to my Father. And then Paul, in the book of Colossians, tells us that we are to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So in this book of Galatians that we've been looking through, Paul is making sure that his readers understand the wonder of what it means to be in Christ. We've looked in the last few weeks at how Paul is explaining to the Galatians that they don't need to be under the law anymore. We don't need to obey the rituals and all of that entails. And a life with Christ is about freedom. We had Brian last week with his wonderful golf lesson. Did anyone see that? Stand firm, he said. But it was very much about freedom. And our life with Christ is grounded in faith in Jesus. And that faith forms the groundwork in which roots can flourish and we can bear fruit. So these are the fruits that we've just read out in this verse. And bearing fruit is in the Spirit is like the natural consequence of our faith in Jesus. If you plant something, you expect it to bear fruit. I'm growing gem squash at home. Does anyone know what gem squash is? I'm looking at someone who might know. No? Charlie, Annie? Don't know. Steve, Annie, you don't know anything. Gem squash are South African little gems, squashes. So I'm expecting to have the harvest later this year. So it's expecting of that plant. And that faith that we have in Jesus connects us to him like the branches of the vine that Jesus talked about in John chapter 15, and that it bears good fruit. Being grafted into Jesus enables the Holy Spirit to flow from him to us and through us, and we benefit from his roots as the foundation of our faith. We draw on his nutrients of love and grace and mercy and forgiveness and restoration to enable us to thrive and blossom and bear fruit. God's love, God's peace, God's joy, God's goodness can all start to sort of be transmitted into us because we're grafted into him. And those are his divine attributes or personality, and his qualities can move into the very core of our being because we are part of his vine. So in this image that Jesus as the vine and us as the branches, it helps us to understand how we can bear this fruit that Paul talks about. How I like to consider this fruit, as it were, is, and some commentators take this view as well, is that this is one fruit, contrary to many of those Sunday school images some of us grew up with apples and pears and bananas and oranges. I like to think of this as one fruit with many different attributes or flavors, as it were. You know, like when you taste a good wine, Phil knows all about good wine. You swirl it around in the glass and you have a sniff and then you might take a sip and you let it sit on your palate and you wait for those flavors to emerge. Cherries or raspberries or chocolate or plum. Sometimes you read some things on the labels, gives you an idea. Or some wacky aromas that Julie Gould and the old famous wine critic might have come up with. Trainers on a hot tarmac, anyone? Don't quite fancy a red wine with that flavor. Anyway, but why it's good to think of these fruit as one fruit is because they're inseparable from each other. I can't have love and Rachel has faithfulness and Helen has peace. We have them all. We have them all in us, don't we, through the Holy Spirit. And if we have this new life in Christ through faith, this fruit is waiting to be produced in our lives by us welcoming the Holy Spirit and allowing him to help and guide us and work with us, nourishing us to bear this fruit. And I think it's important that we think of each of these characteristics in equal measure. We can't expect that we walk around all day with love and peace. I'd love to, but we lack goodness or self-control. These are equally all important. Okay, granted, at some parts of our lives, some days, we go through different things, we might lean on different attributes, and we might need some others, and sometimes we display some more than others. Sometimes we need a bit more peace, sometimes we need a bit more self-control, but overall, each of these characteristics are part of one fruit that we have growing inside of us. And it's also important to remember that these are fruit. They're the product of something. They are the product of us being rooted in Jesus. And they aren't things that we need to strive for or work at. The evidence of the Holy Spirit in our lives is this fruit. Our abilities as human beings to love one another is actually really limited. And that's why it's so important for each and every Christian to work with the Holy Spirit to grow this fruit into the core of who we are. And it's only when the love of the Holy Spirit starts to flow in us and enter into our personalities and our character that we can even begin to love God and love ourselves and love one another to the degree and intensity that God would really like to see from each of us. We sing a song in which we ask God, sometimes when you hear lyrics and you hear yourself sing them and you think, okay, we ask a song in which we ask God to break my heart for what breaks yours. That's a really hard line to sing. What breaks God's heart and asking God to break my heart too. And we just sang just now, fill me with your heart, lead me in your love to those around me. To have that intensity that God has, we need the Holy Spirit to work in our lives to grow that fruit. If you think that there are some of these aspects that maybe you don't display enough, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Yeah, we have to be intentional about it, and we have to actively live by the Spirit and follow the Spirit, as in verse 25. It's a deliberate decision and commitment. And when the Spirit is at work in you, that fruit will start to grow. Each of us will face times when we sense that we're not as fruitful as we ought to be. And these are times that we should remember our roots. We are rooted in Christ and we receive nutrients through his word, the Bible, that enables the fruit of the Spirit to grow. And again, it's the very life of Christ in us that produces the fruit of the Spirit. Yes, we act and we live and we do our day-to-day lives, but it's all by faith, and it's all in Christ who lives in us through his Spirit. And this fruit is a product. It's produced from us through the Holy Spirit. It's hanging on our branches. It's grown out of us. It's not like a Christmas tree with baubles that have just been put there that are shiny and clean. But our fruit, this fruit of the Spirit, is genuine. And it's a product of who we are and the Spirit at work in us. So what's this fruit for? It's for eating. It's to nourish the consumer. You had your 5 a day? Do you have your 5 a day? Do you have your 9 a day? Those listed up there. So this fruit that we bear because of who we are in Christ surely needs to benefit somebody. I'm going to stretch this tree on a fruit analogy a bit further and say that if you don't pick that fruit off the tree, it's going to spoil and rot. So it makes me think of that verse of hiding a light under a bushel. What's the point in having a light if you hide it and don't let anyone see it, or don't let anyone see the benefits of that light in the darkness? If all these attributes of the fruit of the Spirit were for our own benefit, I reckon the fruit on the branches would spoil and rot. The context of this passage that Paul is encouraging his readers to lead godly lives and live in harmony with others. Earlier in chapter 5, Paul urges the Galatians to let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. And he lists a raft of things that come about from following the desires of your sinful nature, some of which harm ourselves, but many of them harm our neighbor. And then Paul uses one of my favorite words in the Bible, but. But, he says at the start of this passage, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. So we can take it that this fruit can benefit ourselves, but also those around us. It's to be picked to benefit those who need it, to be a visible demonstration of the goodness within us that we have through Jesus. That people can see the fruit on our trees. It's visible in who we are and how we are, and it tastes good. My favorite fruit, we didn't talk about favorite fruits. So I wouldn't be this fruit, but my favorite fruit that my dad used to grow when I was younger. Many South Africans have this tree in their garden, much like you might have an apple tree or a pear tree in England. It's the mango. Sweet, juicy mangoes picked straight off the tree. No time for this fancy cutting up stuff. I don't know what that's all about. But this is how you eat a mango. Straight off the tree, you peel the skin off with your teeth, and you make a drippy, sweet mess. And you drive your mother mad by rinsing your arms off in the swimming pool. That was my childhood. It tastes good. And fruit is meant to be eaten. You know when that fruit is ripe and it looks good. What we do with that fruit is how we bear witness of having the Holy Spirit in our lives, and it blesses others. Psalm 34, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. So this fruit has aromas and flavors of love and joy and peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is one tasty fruit. In each of these attributes, think how they can bless you, but also ask the Holy Spirit to help your fruit grow and be visible and tasty to others. Wouldn't you like a bit more patience when you drive your car to work? I might. Or a bit more goodness when greeting your grouchy neighbor over the fence? How can you show love, joy, peace, patience, etc. to those around you? In the activities that we talked about over coffee, how can God use those in these activities? He's given you this fruit, and the Holy Spirit is growing this in you as a result of your faith in Jesus. How might you pick this fruit and bless it to other people? Having our lives being led by the Holy Spirit equips us and generates us within us a desire to love and bless and care and support and comfort one another. There are over 40 one another verses in the New Testament, depending on which translation you read. And they're all about believers acting out their new spirit-filled lives with each other. And if we are filled by the Spirit, exuding these 9 attributes of one anothering, there can be no room in our hearts and our lives for the conceit, the provocation, or the jealousy that Paul talks about in verse 26. This evidence of the Holy Spirit in our lives draws people to God. We, as Spirit-filled believers who are walking with many of these characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, should be like a magnet. The love and goodness that we exhibit to each other and to the world is attractive, intriguing, and it draws people in. Jesus said in John chapter 3, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." It's like that juicy mango, that irresistible fruit hanging from the tree, waiting to be picked and enjoyed. And the last few verses in this passage, Paul brings us back to how our lives impact others. In verse 25, it says, "Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another." So in this whole passage, he's sandwiched the fruit of the Spirit with the impact that the absence of that fruit can have on those around us. We are no longer under the law or rituals or our old ways. These are the ways that can eat away at our lives and affect those around us, our friends and family, and those that we keep in touch with. But we've been transformed by the Holy Spirit of God through faith in Jesus to bear good fruit to benefit others. As a final thought, the fruits of the Spirit in this passage, I'll just go back a bit. This can be quite an intimidating list. I certainly don't wake up every morning feeling all of those. Who can measure up to that? The answer, of course, is no one. No one. Except Jesus, who is perfect in each of these. He is the only one we can rely on to bear his fruit. He is the only one who will be pleased to welcome and sanctify us, to make us right when we come with him, when we come to him in faith, when we root ourselves in him and bear the fruit of his Holy Spirit. That will nourish us and also each other. Thank you. So let's just pray for a second. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that he's our companion and our helper. And we can do all things. We can do everything through you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that we don't have to be intimidated by this, but we can see this as an encouragement of all that we have available to us. Through you, through being rooted and grounded in you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Thank you that we can bear good fruit because you're a good God. And help us in this. We pray. Amen.